If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello there and welcome to the Eurogamer newscast. And this week we are talking about Baldur's Gate 3, a little game you might have heard of that's done pretty well but isn't getting a sequel from developer Larian. Joining me to talk about that this week, it's Eurogamer's news team. We've got Ed Nightingale.
Hello.
Victoria Kennedy.
Hello.
And I'm Tom Phillips. So just to recap, Larian announced at GDC, Game Developers Conference last week, that despite the fact Baldur's Gate 3 was wildly successful, they wanted to do something else for their next game. They're not even going to do a big new expansion for Baldur's Gate 3. They want to focus in on something completely different. And reaction to that has been, I would say, a little bit mixed, because people really love Baldur's Gate 3 and want to see more of it. And people like what they like. And if things are successful, I would say the trend these days is that the entertainment industry serves up more of them. But Larian won't make Baldur's Gate 4. And I wanted to sort of talk to you guys about who might make Baldur's Gate 4 if Larian doesn't. It has been a hugely successful game. The property, obviously, Dungeons & Dragons is owned by Wizards of the Coast, and they are now free to find a different game development studio to take on the reins. And I would be very surprised if we don't see a Baldur's Gate 4 at some point, even though Larian has said they're not going to make one. And I guess like the first sort of question to think about is, who could Wizards of the Coast reach out to and see if they're interested, or who might we want to see a Baldur's Gate 4 from around the industry?
I was just going to say, I actually feel quite positive about Larian not doing Baldur's Gate 4, just because like they've obviously done a couple of D&D games now and they've grown immensely, and I'm quite happy that they are now big enough that they can sort of go off and do their own thing. And I'm actually more excited about what they might be doing next, because I'm presuming maybe it's not D&D related, or maybe it's something entirely original. And I'm quite excited about that they're not going to be as restricted, and they can go off and I guess take a risk when, as you say, like, you know, so many developers now just make sequel after sequel. And I think it's great that they've had this success and they're now like, do you know what? We're going to go and make something completely different and do our own thing and take a risk. And I actually think that's really commendable, and I'm really happy for them.
Me too. Yeah. I think there's a lot of reasons why D&D is a difficult thing to turn into a video game. It's not something created for the video game medium, and Larian have had to work within the guardrails of 5e and not really be able to create too much that contravenes with the canon of the games. That said, D&D is hugely popular and there have definitely been advantages to building within that world. But no, I'm happy for Larian. I'm certainly not like upset or aggrieved at Larian saying we're not going to do Baldur's Gate 4, because I think that we'll still get a great game from Larian that doesn't have those guardrails, And I think it's very likely that we will still see something called Baldur's Gate 4 or Baldur's Gate subtitle down the road, just because if Wizards of the Coast doesn't do that, then they're leaving money on the table. I guess the only question is who has that pedigree and ability to do it. And that's a difficult one, I think, because Baldur's Gate, you said, Ed, like, the games have got bigger and more complex to the point now where, and any game that follows Baldur's Gate 3 is going to have such a high level of expectation.
Yeah.
The kind of studio that can pull that off, there aren't that many around. Mm. So, like, there are a bunch of really good indie RPG studios, but I don't think that would be what people would be expecting if it was like a top-down, you know, text-based dialogue game. People would be like, what the hell is this? This isn't Baldur's Gate 4. It's nothing like Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not going to go and... I was going to say, it's not going to change suddenly to be like a 2D pixel art style something. It'll have to be of the same pedigree, like you said, and the same kind of vast world that we are now accustomed to with Baldur's Gate 3.
And I've been thinking... If they call it Baldur's Gate 4.
If they call it that, yeah, true. Unless they completely pivot away and have it as Baldur's Gate, the pixel adventures or something. But I... So when you mentioned this... That. I would play that, actually, now I've said it. It's quite a good idea. But... So I was thinking about other fantasy games I've played, not necessarily D&D ones, and I can think of two more recent ones that I've played, not necessarily recent releases, and that would be obviously Dragon's Dogma 2, so Capcom, with that sort of fantasy world building, etc. that they have, or it would be from like The Witcher inspired, so CDPR, CD Projekt Red. Would be my two, but that's based on those are the fantasy games I've played relatively recently.
That's the thing, I think it's so big now that, as you said, if it's Baldur's Gate 4... it has to be a continuation of that style of game, I would say, or at least people will expect that. And I think that's it's been so successful that it would be a huge risk for a big company to live up to that. And I don't know if they would want to risk that, but equally it's maybe too much of a stretch for a smaller indie studio to reach that level unless they get a ton of investment from Wizards of the Coast. So it's really hard to pitch, like, what kind of level of developer is going to be willing to take that on, because it's a huge task, I think, to live up to how successful this has been.
Yeah, the bar is so high now.
I think you would have to look to a company with the abilities of someone like CD Projekt that can make these big open, I mean, it is basically open world RPGs with really filmic quality cinematics and brilliant writing. I guess the other one for me that immediately springs to mind is BioWare, and this is sort of putting aside the fact that BioWare already has a fantasy RPG series and we're expecting another entry of that relatively soon. They also have Mass Effect as well, and their plate is very much full. But so, you know, I'm not suggesting, I think it's likely Wizards of the Coast will reach out to BioWare, but again, that's the sort of caliber of studio. And I don't know, like Dragon Age, if that were to come out and maybe not do well, and EA sort of think, do we do a licensed fantasy RPG next instead of a Dragon Age 5? Potentially, I could see that happening. They certainly have the talent, though, over at BioWare, and there are lots and lots of similarities between Baldur's Gate and Dragon Age when I think about how a lot of the missions in the game are themed around your companion characters, how each of them will have an arc. You know, you could... It's very BioWare in some respects, you know, even down to sort of how romances are handled or anything. I actually think that Larian did a better job with some of that character writing than some of the BioWare stuff that's happened, because I think some of those BioWare games ended up feeling a bit formulaic. And that's not really a criticism, I think, of BioWare's lack of vision on that. I think that fans have sort of come to expect a certain thing from BioWare games, and that's fed back into what BioWare does. Like, you have to be able to lock in a romance at a particular time, and you have to, you know, have a loyalty mission to make sure that your companions love you. Whereas with Baldur's Gate 3, they did that in a much, I think, more, it felt a bit more organic. Like, obviously, you were still hitting scripted moments at particular points, but it just felt a bit less formulaic. And I'd love to see BioWare do something along those lines and pick up sort of the baton there. Maybe we'll get that with Dragon Age Dreadwolf. I don't know. We shall see.
Weren't the previous Baldur's Gate games made by BioWare?
God.
Quickly Google.
I'm pretty sure they were. Because then the thing is, that would be a sort of return back home, but I don't know if they would want to do that.
I'll be honest, my first BioWare game was Dragon Age 2. So I came to them relatively late. But yes, they did do Baldur's Gate 1 and 2. Yeah. I should have known that off the top of my head. And then they did Neverwinter Nights. And then it was on into the sort of Jade Empire Mass Effect era. So yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like those sort of first Baldur's Gate probably feed into what Dragon Age is. And then it would sort of end up becoming full circle. I don't know if they'd want to do that. I think Baldur's Gate 4 or 3 is much more organic and has sort of become its own thing separate to those BioWare games.
Mm. It was interesting to see recently EA sort of issue doing license the IP a bit. I think that they are aware that licensed IP can come with big price tags attached. And when you are making a Star Wars game or a Marvel game, you're handing over possibly a 33% cut to someone else, you know, just for using their IP, and that makes those games suddenly vastly less profitable than if you were using your own IP. I think that's probably one of the reasons why BioWare, despite the fact that it's not had a breakout hit in a while, is still really valuable to EA, because there is still a lot of love for Dragon Age and Mass Effect, and those brands that BioWare, and therefore by extension EA, owns entirely. You know, they can make games and not have to pay anyone else for using them. They can make N7 hoodies and sell them and not have to pay Disney 33% cut of that. They can, you know, do spin-offs and license it and make adaptations, and it's entirely under their creative control. So I think, yeah, although they've got the talent, I don't think they've got the availability, and I don't know if EA would go for it. But I would love to see a studio of BioWare's caliber take it on.
Would you ever want to see a studio take a massive pivot and do it? So someone like Arrowhead suddenly like pivot and do fantasy?
I don't think there's any problem with switching genre, but I think that when you are completely switching, as in genre as sort of, you know, fantasy or sci-fi, you know, I don't think there's any... I think that when you have game developers who are really talented at making a specific genre, as in a type of game, like narrative adventure versus PvP online shooter, I think that, you know, that's been very difficult. And we've seen recent examples where studios have tried to do something very different and it hasn't gone well. That's not to say it's impossible, but yeah. The sort of overall feeling at the moment is that studios are sort of sticking to what they know and doing that.
I'm wondering if there is an indie studio that could step up to the plate somehow. Or like a studio that is willing, like you say, there to pivot. I'm thinking, is it Moon Studios who made the Ori games? Have No Rest for the Wicked, which is then a completely different game of, you know, sort of Soulsy top-down RPG dark twisted thing. You know, if they're willing to pivot that much, could moving up to that level of game be a next step for them, or another studio of that caliber that is sort of well respected, that has, I don't know, Microsoft money or PlayStation money behind them? Because I think that's the thing, you would need an indie studio to have the money to grow and entice in that talent to be able to do that. So it needs to be a good level of indie studio, I think, to take that on. But then would they be more willing to take the risk than a bigger studio?
And would Wizards want to fund an indie studio to sort of grow into this in the same way that Larian grew into making Baldur's Gate 3 over a very long time scale? I would hope so.
Well, yeah, it's a long-term investment.
How long was Baldur's Gate 3 in development? Like, I know it was obviously in early access before it got its release last year.
Like 6 years or something crazy, which is pretty unheard of when it comes to big game development now. I mean, actually, BioWare does do that. Those big, long game developments. But again, I don't think it's going to be BioWare. I think that one possibility which would be interesting is if Wizards decided to set up their own studio and get it up and running at that size that Larian is at now. And if I was Wizards of the Coast, I'd be looking to see if there was anyone at Larian who did still want to do Baldur's Gate. And you would be giving those people the opportunity to work on another game in the franchise that they've been working on and they know really well. You would also, as a publisher, then be able to say, oh, look, it's from the art director of Baldur's Gate 3. Even though it's not from Larian, it's from this new studio they've set up, and they maybe have taken some people from Larian who want to jump ship and do that. I think that is probably the most... I don't know. I think it's an option for Wizards, whether they want to do it or not, I don't know.
I mean, there's also other other Dungeons & Dragons-esque games in development or in production or in the works, because we've got the one that was announced last year from Payday 3 developer Starbreeze. And then, you know, I think it was just earlier this month, actually, that GameWolf said that they were also working on some kind of Dungeons & Dragons game, not necessarily, obviously, a Baldur's Gate, but within that setting.
That's the thing. So I think Wizards of the Coast are investing, and I think a lot of that is off the back of Baldur's Gate 3's success, because that has really brought D&D to a massive audience. And so I guess in that sense, do we need a Baldur's Gate 4? Because really, Baldur's Gate 4 is part of the world of D&D. So could we just have another D&D game under a different name, but in that same universe, that ends up being just as successful? Because really, it's, I guess people know Baldur's Gate, but it's D&D that is the bigger world and franchise. And I don't see why they can't invest in one of these other games that maybe doesn't have Baldur's Gate in the name, but is still part of that world and is could be just as successful. But I guess there's that also, as we've said before, Baldur's Gate is now such a big name, it would make sense to play on that. But why not branch out? I mean, you both know D&D more than I do. Surely there is another setting or world or place or city that can compete with Baldur's Gate to be the next Baldur's Gate, but not.
I mean, my D&D campaign is unofficially taking place in Saltburn. So that's...
That's a very different type of game.
It's very different. What about yours, Tom? Or your worlds that you've...
I wouldn't say I'm a D&D pro, but we finished one campaign, which was Descent into Avernus, which is very heavily tied into Baldur's Gate. The campaign begins in Baldur's Gate, and you visit the Nine Hells, and there's a lot that ties in there. It's actually a really good game to have played, a good campaign to have played before playing Baldur's Gate. Currently, I'm playing Icewind Dale, which is set in a very different part of the world. It was Rime of the Frostmaiden is the name of the campaign, set in Icewind Dale. This really snowy, cold area. And obviously there's crossover, you know, it's the same world. You're still fighting Dwaegar and the same sort of character types exist. But yes, there's lots of scope to do something different within Faerun or within the lore of D&D without it having to be about Baldur's Gate, specifically the city.
It reminds me a bit of like Elder Scrolls, the fact that every Elder Scrolls game is like a different region, but it's all the same world. Like, could D&D or Wizards of the Coast not have a similar sort of approach?
Yes, they could. And, you know, you could call it Baldur's Gate and not actually have Baldur's Gate in the game. I think that's fine. It's just the brand name now that's sort of similar to D&D. You know, D&D does not have to include dragons or dungeons. I mean, it's what does have to include dungeons.
Because... what?
I just think that Wizards will want to do something with it. I totally get your, you know, do we need a Baldur's Gate 4? I think that that style of game is really popular. It's really good at creating a following, community, love and an outpouring of, you know, like fan art and stuff. And people love the characters from Baldur's Gate 3. People want to see more of Asterion and Shadowheart and all of that. And that's an interesting point. Like, without going into spoilers, and really, it depending a lot on your own choices, it would be very difficult, I think, to continue some of those stories, even though people would love to have what happened next to those characters, because the endings, and there are many, of Baldur's Gate 3 tie up a lot of those characters, if they're even still alive. I mean, you can purposefully go through and kill them off or not recruit them. And...
See, I don't think they could continue those characters, just because I think it would be a similar situation with like the Life is Strange series, where obviously your decisions impact some of the ending, and you don't want a developer then to say, actually, no, you're wrong, that's not the canonical choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the problem that Mass Effect has, and why they went to Andromeda first before coming back to the Milky Way for the next game in the series, because people don't like knowing that their choices were not the canon choice, and you either face like, well, actually, this is set in an alternate universe where those choices didn't happen, or no, we've decided to pick a specific outcome, and that was the agreed upon option. I mean, if Baldur's Gate 3 does include returning characters from 1 and 2, they're minor characters, really. So it's not sort of a new thing that they've picked certain characters to carry forward. I think if and when they do a Baldur's Gate 4, it will have to be a completely new set of characters. And maybe, you know, any mention of the ones that people love from 3 is just kept to...
Or like documents you can find in the world. Like,
yeah.
World building or...
Yeah, or like you meet Asterion's brother or something like that, you know, and you don't actually deal with Asterion.
Yeah. Or Starien.
Yeah.
What a name.
I mean, there are other ways they could go about it. Like, you could go through a really complex, like, save import thing and, you know, you could...
I was thinking that Baldur's Gate 4, like, the web increases. It's like, how many different branches are there now, like, following on from the previous one? I think that's just an impossible undertaking.
I mean, how many, whenever they were talking about Baldur's Gate 3 when it was first created, they not say it was like a spider's web with like 1,000 different branches or something? Or, like, there was some.
Some sort of quote like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we move. I think that the ending that they've got is very final. And they're still putting new endings in the game, they're still adding more epilogue.
Dark ones.
Movies for people to...
Evil ones.
Yeah, for people to discover if they've been evil. But I can't get away from the fact that Baldur's Gate 4 would just be such a load of money to leave on the table that someone somewhere won't do it.
I do find it incredible, though, how much Baldur's Gate 3 has dominated discussion generally. Like, in my D&D group that I play with, I've got friends in there who are playing it for the third time. Like, it's just, it is such a huge thing. Like, they're playing it with, like, different class. They're playing it with different, I'm trying not to spoil anything. But, like, they're going, like, deliberately on a different path so they can try and experience the game in its entirety. They're really invested in it.
There are a lot of Twitch streamers doing the same thing. Like, it's still really popular on Twitch. And this kind of game, I think, takes, you know, if 3 was like 6 years, like, it's going to take a long time. But equally, I'm sure Wizards of the Coast will want to capitalize on that and get something out sooner. And it would be a shame, I think, if they then rushed out a sequel just for the sakes of it. And I think that, like, 3 still has a lot of fans, has a lot of people playing it. So there's no need to rush that, I think. But maybe they will get greedy.
I think
companies getting greedy? What?
Who would have thought, right?
No.
maybe, and I think maybe this happens whether they do a 4 or not with someone else, maybe they look to a smaller studio to do something fun with those characters or with that setting, and it's very deliberately a different style of game. And I'm not saying like Romance Simulator, but you know, something that is for the fans but doesn't even try to be a Baldur's Gate 4.
It's not thinking it, but he's saying it.
It's probably a Romance Simulator, isn't it? No, it's like, I don't know, like it's a detective game set in Baldur's Gate 3 during the events of like the third act, and it's set in Baldur's Gate, the city, and maybe you bump into Shadowheart and it's like just stuff that's happening, or with side characters or something, I don't know. And that's something that you could get out quicker with a smaller developer, and it's still a Baldur's Gate thing, and fans probably really like it. If you get a developer that's sort of tied to that particular genre that you're looking at doing something on, like, I don't know, you do a narrative adventure game and you get Don't Nod to do it, and you put like the original Life is Strange team on it, and it's like a much smaller thing that just exists in that world, and you spin it out into lots of different types of gameplay.
Stardew Valley, but it's Baldur's Gate.
Can you imagine, like, Farian farming?
Yeah. Build your own Baldur's Gate.
Oh, I mean, I would play that as well as the pixel adventures that we envisioned earlier. That'd be quite cute. Oh, do you think you could, like, pet the dogs and get a little griffin pet? Raise a dragon?
Little owlbear pet. Oh, that'd be great.
I do think, though, no matter what they do in the future, whether or not it's a sort of direct sequel of Baldur's Gate 4, they will definitely have to keep the Baldur's Gate. Just because I know we're discussing it, we're discussing about development and teams that we think come on it, but we're also coming at it from very much industry. You know, like this is an industry that we know and we're invested in, whereas a lot of people will have played this game just because it's a nice or a fun game and not actually have the sort of video game hat on, I suppose, in like the wider context. And so Baldur's Gate is a known entity to so many people, even if, you know, X, Y, and Z developer isn't.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, the franchise recognition of the name Baldur's Gate now is so great that I think if you're Wizards of the Coast, then you can't really... I've said it a million times already, but it's leaving money on the table to just set that aside. It's so difficult to get a success of this kind that's so beloved that people are like, please give us more. You know, like, my mouth is open. Please spoon-feed me, Larin. And people will hungrily yum it up.
I think Larin can play on it as well, because whatever they make next, it will be from the creators of Baldur's Gate 3. So they can always just put that on there. And whatever they do, it's going to be like, great, I'll do that. You know, I was thinking back to, in some ways, it's sort of similar to FromSoft sort of having these great, relatively niche in comparison games, to then exploding with Elden Ring. And it's like, well, are they going to, okay, they've got the DLC this year, but are they going to make Elden Ring 2, or are they going to make something entirely different, like they did with, say, Sekiro or something? But it's still from the makers of Elden Ring, and it will still instantly sell because it's got Elden Ring on the box somewhere.
Do they not say Elden Ring is part of a franchise, or have I made that up?
They have said that, yeah. But we don't know what else is coming.
But it could be, like, I don't know, something or other, an Elden Ring story.
Maybe.
Elden Ring dating simulator.
I mean, that would sell. Everyone wants to date the wolf.
So who would you? Oh.
Blythe.
Not Melania?
Blythe.
Blythe versus Melania. They would, yeah. It's. No, I'm not going to say what's about to say.
Why? What were you about to say?
Because it's really not appropriate.
Can you text it to me later?
Fine.
I was thinking after about dark version of the podcast.
Oh, they meant like Elden Ring.
Yeah,
after
off the dark. Game. It's already pretty dark.
Maybe that's what you call it.
Oh, Elden Ring
after dark.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a very sexy game.
I think there are mods for that stuff anyway, so it's not really needed.
I've got.
Well, on that note,
stop there.
Thanks for joining us if you made it this far, and apologies if you have. We'll be back next week to talk about whatever's happening in the games industry next week, after the long weekend. Until then, Ed, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at @Ed_Knights.
And Victoria?
I am at Little Chop Shop Gal. I forgot. Sorry. What? I forgot my name.
Oh, okay. And I'm at Tom Phillips. I can't even say my name now. I'm at Tom Phillips, EG. Thanks for watching or listening, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
See you then.
Bye.